This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 352 for Tuesday, July 29th, 2014, a podcast about technology and ministry and where those two meet. We do it every Tuesday. Most Tuesdays we are doing it together, but for the last 3 weeks, Sally, we've been solo.
Solo act. I'm happy to welcome you back, Martin. Hope you had a great time on your vacation. I certainly did.
Yep. You were gone the first, I forget what episode that was, but then we followed that up with two where I was gone. So we both got to experience the joys of the monologue.
Yeah.
We didn't find any guest hosts for this abbreviated summer series, but that's okay. They are a little shorter, and that's okay to be just kind of focused on the topic at hand, which in our case happens to be the migration of our wiki page. We were a little unhappy with the direction it was going with the software platform, so we decided to light up Google Sites, and I'm growing to like it. I think it is a lot easier than what we were on, and also probably a better long-term home for really good content.
Absolutely. And those of you listening most likely know that wikis are intended to be collaborative. So the reason we have a Wells Tech Wiki is so that our listeners can join in and add to the website. And there have been new accounts created on the Wells Tech Wiki. So I'm really excited to see people kind of getting on board and hopefully contributing their knowledge and expertise. Because if you're relying on us, we're going to fall a little short in terms of, all that there is to know.
Because we don't know all there is to know.
No, we got a long ways to go.
And don't pretend to know.
No, but the wiki site is there to gather all that information. Specifically, this week we're going to be talking about
network infrastructure. So we have this whole category called infrastructure, and let's just jump to the page here real quickly for those of you following along at home. So we have a whole series of pages on infrastructure, including hardware, which, Sally, you talked about last week. That was fun.
It was, yeah. Not my forte, but I was able to share the information that was out on the wiki.
Right. And now we're down to the section called network, and then next week we'll follow it up with streaming and recording, which is maybe a little bit more exciting for some than network, but for those of you that have to maintain a network, or maintain file servers or those things, that kind of infrastructure stuff that makes a church or school go as far as their data is concerned, this is important stuff. And I would say that our listserv probably is a good feeding ground or an area where a lot of these conversations start about, well, what do you do for servers? What do you do for content filtering? What do you do for hardware? What about these cloud services, backup, those kinds of things? Those are some good discussions that go on the Wells Tech listserv. And you'll see when you visit the Wells Tech Wiki site, wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net, and find that network section, that we have carried over some of those conversations so that people have an idea of some of the good stuff that was shared there. And there are some smart people that are talking about what was their best setup for school, why they didn't go a certain direction, some of the pluses and minuses of different products.
Yeah, and I'm kind of smiling because, streaming and recording, which we're going to get to next week, is pretty glamorous stuff. That's a lot of fun. But I don't think you'd be streaming and recording if you didn't have a network in place and a solid network. So it's a good thing that we are talking networks today.
Yep. And maybe before we jump into what I would call on-premises network stuff, there's this whole new category that didn't really exist in a formidable way, 3 or 4 years ago, and that's all these cloud services that are available. And this is an area of the wiki where we don't have a lot of content. So we're looking for real-life experience from our listeners and viewers on what they've experienced through the use of some of these cloud services. So some of them, like Google, Microsoft, Apple provide kind of a Dropbox experience where you're just putting files there, you're pulling files down, you're sharing files, those kinds of things. But there are other services like Windows Azure, Amazon S3, who allow you to build up entire applications, so they're a little bit more full-featured. And then there's that whole cloud backup suite of tools. We've talked about many of them, Mozy, Backblaze, Carbonite, where you can rely on the cloud to extend maybe your local or your on-prem infrastructure.
I definitely would love to hear about congregations and schools that are using this kind of thing, because I think it's the wave of the future, and more will be moving, and more functionality for network services will be moving to the cloud.
Very cost-effective in most cases, and it's probably a great alternative for, especially for churches or schools that don't have maybe the technical expertise to maintain an entire infrastructure. But you do need a network infrastructure to make all that work. And if you have a network, and almost all of our churches and schools do now, one thing you have to worry about is content filtering, especially if you have a school. You want to be able to protect the people that are on the network from, you know, some of the stuff that's out there that could creep into your network, and that could be in the form of stuff that the kids shouldn't see, or even some of the spam or other things that can creep into a network.
I think one of the important things we reference here is a past Wealth Tech episode where we interviewed Greg Boggs and Joshua Johnson, who are out in the Nebraska district, and just talked through some of the different content filtering solutions. Greg's real familiar with different software solutions, and he worked with Joshua at Nebraska Lutheran High School to put some of those in place. So I think it's an excellent interview to kind of give you a place to start thinking about the issues around content filtering.
Yep, and we also referenced there a March 09 Wells Tech listserv discussion, as I mentioned. That's a good place to find that kind of stuff. So if you have questions, that's certainly a resource. But we try and capture it here, too. So if you're interested in content filtering, that might be a good place to start. What's the next section, Sally?
Next up, we talk about hardware, things like modems, routers, Wi-Fi, all of those kind of things. And we do have one Wells Tech episode, again, to reference here, a fairly recent one. Those of you that have listened, I think just this spring, might remember that Jason Schmidt and Drew Willems were on the podcast, and they talked a lot about Wi-Fi infrastructure specifically. And, you know, more and more schools, especially high school settings, are having to support hundreds of users who want to connect to the internet. And it's not just one device they want to connect. They want several devices connected. So we're talking a very hefty Wi-Fi infrastructure that you need to have in place. And there are some great tools out there, very affordable, to help you do that. So definitely reference that Wells Tech episode for that information.
Yes, and this is definitely one of those areas where we need a little bit more content. We've got some really heavy-hitting kinds of topics here that I think would help people who were maybe a little unfamiliar with how to set up a network, what a router is, what a switch is, what Wi-Fi systems to use, although we've talked about a couple recommendations there, and maybe how to go about, you know, setting those up and some of the considerations. Just the nuts, as you said, the nuts and bolts of getting this thing up and running and keeping it up and running. So if you have that kind of experience, this is the page that we'd love you to come to and add some content.
Also under this network category, there's a page for maintenance, and this specifically probably is focused on maintaining your servers and keeping them running efficiently, keeping your, you know, cleaned up from any malware or anything like that, keeping the hard disk as fast and slick as you possibly can, all kinds of different maintenance resources here. Also, you know, I know we talk about Chromebooks a lot, but I'm sure there's a lot of schools, especially that are still using older equipment or Windows-based equipment, where you have to go to each and maintain the individual computers as opposed to pushing out management to the terminals or whatever. So if you're looking at that kind of stuff, there's things here about cloning computers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, some things that you never kind of thought were part of the job description of maintaining an environment that supports users. So anytime you have users in a school setting, church settings, church or school office setting, you're going to have that particular component. And you might think, well, I've done that for grandma, grandpa. I've done that, you know, for my spouse or whatever. But when you start multiplying that times 5, 10, you know, 100 people on campus, that's a problem. Right?
Yeah, I've been sitting in the network services office at Martin Luther College for a year, and I've heard hundreds of people come through those doors with issues that needed support. And they do an awesome job there. I'm just in awe of how many computers they handle and how much stuff they clean up off of them.
But, yep,
it's work, and it takes good tools like the ones mentioned.
Next area, server software. So not just the physical hardware that you need to put in place to manage files in the network, but there is server that runs on top of that. And again, here we offer a discussion that a number of people had on the listserv that talks about, the opening question was, is anyone out there using purely some version of Linux to run their school church networks? You know, it is a pain to administer for purely, is it a pain to administer for purely volunteer staff? And that launched into a whole, you know, what kind of network software is best, what kind of server software is out there. And this was a discussion way back in 2009. So here's another area where we'd love to have this beefed up with more current content because obviously things evolve. Different operating systems do different things, and it would be good to have different opinions and feedback based on real life experience.
Did we mention that they could create an account right up there at the top of the page?
Request an account. I think that'd be it.
We need your help, folks, so please do help us update these pages.
Yeah, this whole area, and we say this kind of over and over again, needs your content, and you know, we try and pick and choose from different. Other channels that it's come to us, but ultimately what we'd like to do is people to get into the wiki and add their own content, so make it a community-based effort. The last section under infrastructure and network is servers themselves, and here we're asking for recommendations on file sharing, server configuration, those kinds of things, backups, external access like VPNs, which is one of the disadvantages of maybe going with your own kind of on-prem solution, is you have to figure out how to get people into it safely from the outside versus, you know, the cloud solutions that are out there, Google Apps kind of approach. So there's all kinds of considerations there and a ton of discussion around best practices and a lot of links to different approaches to this kind of thing. So that's the last category under infrastructure.
I have much to learn about network infrastructure, but good that the Wells Tech Wiki is there.
It is, and ready to serve. So,
for sure.
All right, shall we move along? Actually, maybe we should tease next week a little bit for what we're doing. Again, we talked about the infrastructure, and just a reminder that if you are interested in streaming, or recording, we've got actually a lot of stuff here because this is maybe a little bit of an area that we get a lot of questions on, and we've had a number of shows on. In fact, this is a video streaming podcast, so we do have a little bit of idea of how things go. So tune in next week if you're looking to maybe stream your service. That's audio, video, a Bible class. Even at least record it, get it up on the internet. We talk about closed caption video, those kinds of things. So that's all coming up next week.
We might have a little bit of brain power to contribute to that conversation.
All right.
Good stuff.
Let's move on to our tips and picks. It's been a while since you've had a double dose, you know, of tips and picks. You had one or the other of us. As usual, I will start on the tips side. And my tip comes fresh from my vacation experiences, and that is, and let me pull up a quick screenshot again for those of you watching at home, that is Flickr. And I've talked about Flickr in the past, but it really hit home as I was on the road trying to take pictures and then share pictures with friends, family, or whatever. And this obviously is application to church or school or the classroom, those kinds of things. So it's certainly something that you can use in a lot of different contexts. But Flickr has done a nice job of creating a free service, and they have mega space here. You can, for a free account, you can have 1 terabyte of photo and video storage, mm-hmm. up to 200 megabytes per photo, 1 gigabyte of video, up to 3 minutes of video. So it's tough to fill up a terabyte of data. That's a lot of photos and a lot of video that you could put up there, all for free. If you want to go ad-free so you don't have any ads on the page, that's just $50 a year for that kind of storage. But what my tip is when you are setting up, and a lot of people are using smartphones, Sally, to take pictures, most phones allow you to install the Flickr app, but then set it up as an auto sync for any pictures that you take. A lot of services do this. OneDrive does this. iCloud does this. I think Google Drive does this, depending on the platform, where you can say any picture I take, auto upload it to the service once you're on Wi-Fi, which is what I do with Flickr. So it serves as my backup. But the neat thing about Flickr is once they're up there, they're uploading high-resolution photos, so that what you do when you create an album is just edit the album, and then you can drag or select the auto sync area that you've configured on your phone, and all those photos will load, and you can just drag and drop them into the appropriate album. So a really easy photo management. It makes it a lot easier than the old days where you were having to rename folders and drag that stuff around and upload, download. This just gets it all up in the cloud right away, so you're not having to sync it with your computer and then up, or in some other fashion get it to a flash drive. So this makes it real easy. I'm saying it, Flickr isn't the only way to do that, but if you use Google Photos or whatever, just get it up there automatically and then deal with the photos once they're online, because that's really where you want them anyway. Storing them locally is kind of defeats the purpose of taking photos and sharing them. So, you know, these services out there just to allow you to do that. So
yeah, I use Flickr to sync my Instagram account. So Instagram photos, they go right up to Flickr, and I didn't realize, though, that I could find them in an auto-sync area to deal with them that
once
way.
You're in that organized section of Flickr, it works
pretty cool.
It works pretty slick. So does Instagram saves them in the cloud, too, right?
They do, but Instagram seems to be a lot more locked down.
Yeah, you don't have a lot, you don't like albums and things. You can tag.
Things you can, but
it's not really meant to organize. It's more like a stream of, one photo after another.
Exactly.
It's not collections.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you want to do a little more organization around your photos, get it to one of these services through the app, mm-hmm. That is provided on your smartphone or iPad even. Get it up there, and then you can organize away.
Yep,
so
exactly.
There's some if-then that kinds of tools that'll do that too, which is mm-hmm. Just gets it up in the cloud or gets it on Evernote or wherever. So,
yep.
Okay. So that's my tip.
All right. I have a tip as well, and it has to do with the new Google Drive. So maybe you want to share my screen there. I don't know if the new Google Drive has rolled out to everyone. I just got a message the other day that said to try the new Google Drive. I found it under the settings, the gear icon, and it said experience the new Google Drive. So when I clicked it, my drive looks like this. The big difference that I noticed is that there's no checkbox next to things. Instead, you just select things and the menu options apply.
That's better.
That's the big difference. A little bit of a change of the interface.
So do you shift click just like you do in a regular file structure?
To select multiple.
So they've made it a little bit more like your Windows Explorer, your Finder mm-hmm. approach. Okay.
Yeah. But one thing that I noticed right away is that the files display kind of spread out. And I think, they want it to not be too congested.
It gives it kind of
a minimalistic mm-hmm. feel. But I read a blog post, came across something that said you can use QQ to reduce the row height. So of all things, if you're in your new Google Drive and you press QQ, your row height becomes more condensed.
Does it keep going?
There might be one more level. QQ again.
Yep.
And that's the view
that's
I really like. I like to see it all on the screen, not all spread out. the way it defaults to. So that's my tip, is to use QQ in your new Google Drive to see more on the screen at once.
So it seems like it's getting a little closer to a desktop experience, and maybe that's what they're going for, even though you're in a browser. Like on your, like Windows Explorer, you have different views as well. So you can do the details view or the small icons view or whatever. And you have a couple of those available in Google Drive, I think, true,
yep,
too.
That's so, very true.
Okay.
They're up here somewhere, hidden away.
Yep,
so
right there.
Grid view.
Yep. A fewer options, and then obviously you have to deal with the latency that exists within a, you know, a website. But getting closer and closer, I think that's a smart option rather than the checkbox, and you know, you're constantly having problems with it. I wonder how this works with their touch applications, how you select there, because there's no shift, so you probably still have some kind of checkbox experience.
Yeah, I haven't tried that.
Okay. All right, so those are our tips, Sally. Pick of the week.
I have a pick of the week, and this is related to a class I'm teaching currently for Martin Luther College Continuing Ed. One of the things that I do in my basic image editing class is I introduce my students to Animoto. And if you are an Animoto user, Animoto is really great for creating video slideshows of your photo images, and you can actually include little video snippets as well. They have a lot of different themes that you can apply, and my pick specifically this week is for educators, because Animoto offers educators a free plus account. So you can go try Animoto and create a 30-second video, but if you want to create anything longer, typically you have to pay for a plus account. However, if you're a teacher, you can go to animoto.com/education/classroom and sign up for a free educator account. You fill out the information, they give you a promo code, you sign up for a plus account and apply that promo code, and you have a free plus account. It's good for 6 months, but then you have to sign up again and just apply a promo code to your existing account.
And it's still free.
And it'll still be free, so you can just keep renewing it. The really neat thing is, though, when they give you your code, it's good for 50 accounts. And so you can have your students create accounts and apply the code and introduce Animoto in the classroom. And this becomes, you know, a new form of book report or whatever it may be, a tool that they can add to their tool belt to create presentations for the class. And I guarantee you, your students will enjoy the experience. It's a really fun interactive tool to work with. They have audio files available that you can add to your video. You can add text, introductory things. They have a lot of different themes to work with. So excellent tool, and just worth trying out yourself. If you haven't, go create a free 30-second video or add an educator account and get plus for free.
So does educator provide some services that allow for like classroom management or kid management, like Digo does, or some of those other services, Schoology? Kind of
no,
stuff.
They're just regular accounts. I did use that Gmail trick where you can add a
plus
sign to your Gmail address, and so I set up student accounts using that trick, and then all the email associated with the accounts would route through me.
Okay.
So
cool. All right. So Animoto, very cool tool in the classroom.
Definitely.
So my pick of the week is a pick that I think I made about 2 years ago, almost to the day, and that is YouVersion reading plans. And I don't know what it is, Sally, but I tend to kind of get re-engaged with reading plans in the summer. Maybe it's a little bit slower. I've got, you know, I feel the days a little bit longer. I get up a little bit earlier, have maybe a little bit more energy in the morning where I want to do the reading plans. Looked again at YouVersion's reading plans, and they've got just a ton of them out there. And one of the reasons I wanted to go back here was I learned recently that Time of Grace had placed some, I think we've talked about that on the show before, have placed some of their reading plans on YouVersion. So I picked one of those, and I've been going through one of their 30-day reading plans, which is basically just a couple verses and then a commentary by Pastor Mark Jetsky And it's very easy to use. You can do it online on the web, or you can do it on most smartphones. So most smartphone apps that they have, and they're really pushing their apps, either iPhone or iPad, Android, or even Windows Phone has an app too, where you can pick, you know, a reading plan, and it'll do a reminder and give you a morning reminder, hey, have you done it? You can catch up, you can, those kinds of things. So for whatever reason, summer maybe is the right time for you to get re-engaged with kind of a reading plan, devotional study of some sort. They have topical, they have partial, they have whole Bible, family, youth, all kinds of different approaches. So you can go as fast or as slow as you want, but these reading plans are really worth taking a look at. And all of them kind of work the same way, where they will have a verse or two or chapter or two, whatever, and then many of them have commentary. But you can always pick the version that you want. So if you want NIV or King James or whatever it is, you have that ability, just like you have with the real YouVersion. So just a reminder, when you're looking at YouVersion, if you go to YouVersion.com, you are going to see mostly links to their smartphone apps. If you want to see the Bible itself, go to Bible.com, and the link that we'll have, Bible.com/reading-plans, is going to give you a link to all the reading plans that are out there.
So how would you find the Time of Grace stuff there? Would you search
Time of Grace? Good question. Let me do a quick search for and see if it comes up. Yep, Time of Grace is in the title. So you can see Trusting and Believing, You Are Gifted, Who is God, Joy in Serving, Old and New, Feeling Better, God and Me, that's the one I'm going through right now. And these are, the God and Me series really focuses on the Psalms, so it picks a Psalm, because since those are really focused on your relationship with God and worship and what He's done for you. So very cool, and they've got, I don't know, it looks like we've got maybe 10, 12, 15, 20 even Time of Grace devotions here. So take a look at those, and obviously coming from a Lutheran perspective.
Excellent.
So that is my tip of the week.
Looks like we have a listener comment about your tip of the week from Julie Wagon Connect. My husband and I are using the chronological reading plan on YouVersion with the audio, so you can even have it read it to you.
Yep. Debbie and I did that 3 years ago when the new NIV came out. So she would read the old NIV, and I would read the new. We took turns reading to each other, and she would read the old, and I'd read the new. And many times we would play one or the other, you know, of the audio. And I think that was one of my picks way back when we were doing this. I believe it was McLean.
Max
McLean is probably the name. So you got the first name, I got the last name. You're just great, especially when you get into some of those Old Testament areas where, you know, pronouncing the names is a little bit of a struggle. And it's just interesting to hear somebody with a British accent read the Bible, too. There's a little music behind it. It just kind of brings it to life. And it's just a little bit more interesting than you trying to slug through it. So.
Yeah, so just look for a little audio icon when you're on the Bible.com or in your app, either one, and you'll be able to listen to the Bible.
Excellent. Thank you,
Julie. Thanks, Julia.
All right, let's move along to, do we have anything of interest? We want to talk about the Wells Tech Conference.
We do have interesting things. We have a conference coming up. You might want to share my screen there, Martin, because we have a website for our Wells Tech Conference 2015. You can get to it at wells.net/WellsTechConf. And the dates are July 9th through 11th, and currently we are in need of presenters. We'd love to have you attend the conference for free and present to the other attendees some tech and ministry knowledge.
Yeah. There's a whole list of different topics that we're interested in, although that's not an exclusive list. But if you have something that maybe you've got a little bit of experience under your belt with that you'd want to share or facilitate a discussion on, can be anything from streaming to church office software to productivity to classroom management things, Schoology, you know, whatever, anything involving some kind of technology and ministry, that's what we're interested in. So
yeah, I'm thinking those of you that are listening to this show have something to share. So sign up, be a presenter, visit the website. There's a form right there on the Call for Presenters page that you can fill out and share your ideas for what you might present on.
Conference is July next year, so make sure, if nothing else, you, what are the dates on
9th through 11th.
9th through 11th, make sure that you carve out those dates on your calendar, save those dates. It's in Waukesha, Wisconsin, just down the road here from the Center for Mission and Ministry at the Country Springs Resort. Yeah, and they have a whole water park there. And if you're staying there, that's part of the package, too.
Yeah,
so if you got a family, I'm really looking forward to that. So we're lining up some great keynotes already. So let's move along to our community feedback.
All right, a couple things to mention. One is our Wealth Tech listserv had a conversation about printing Google Cal. So if you're using Google Calendar for your church or school, one of the drawbacks, unfortunately, is the printing capability. And something that came out on the Wells Tech listserv is something I've shared on the show before. It's Print My Cal. It's a little utility my husband wrote.
We should have had him come in and talk about this.
Right.
He's just on the other side of the wall here.
That's right. And it'll just allow you to basically download a formatted version of your calendar and edit it in your word processing software, and it won't cut off your calendar titles, which is kind of the downside of Google Calendar's current printing capabilities. So check it out, printmycal.wordpress.com. There's also printmycal.com, which will create it in a PDF format. So lots of options there.
Cool.
I will make another mention of my friend Julia Wagon Connect, who just commented, because she was listening last week, Martin, and my pick of the week was Canva.com. Desktop publishing, not on your desktop, but in the cloud. And Julia immediately tried it out and created this beautiful graphic with the verse Joshua 24:15, as for me in my house, done in Spanish. So thanks, Julia, for sharing, for being a good student, and watching my solo act last week. Appreciate that. Also want to share a link, mailcatch.com. I heard from our friend Norbert Langbecker, who asked me to refresh his memory about mailcatch.com, something we've mentioned probably quite a while ago on the show now. But it's a nice website if you need a throwaway email address. So say you're signing up for something, but you don't want to get a lot of spam around it or whatever. You just want a quick email address. You can make up any email address, first part of the email address, at mailcatch.com, and then you can come to the mailcatch.com site, type in that address. So maybe I made up the email address Sally Draper and used it somewhere, sallydraper@mailcatch.com. I can go and see the email that came to that address by checking it here. So it's easy and quick to do. Sometimes I would do this as I created student accounts on websites. They really didn't need to receive any email. They just needed an email address, and this was a kind of a way around
another
that.
A throwaway, right?
Exactly. So
another thing you can do, and you mentioned it earlier, is you can use your Gmail account, add a plus something, plus temp, and then the name of the website or the vendor or whatever. And then if it kind of winds up to be a little spammy, and if you can't kind of get out of it, you can create filters, you know, on, you know, plus spam, whatever, and you'll never see it. It'll just get deleted before it gets to your inbox. Yep. So that's another way to do that, and one that that we use quite often.
Excellent. A couple of more links to share. Someone's been active on Pinterest. I can't imagine who, but I did actually add these myself to the Pinterest website. One is an infographic called Top Tech Tools, and if you zoom in on it, which is super teeny tiny on my screen right now, sorry about that. I really like the top of this infographic. I could get to the top, maybe. Where it's showing a comparison if you're using an iPad versus a Chromebook.
Oh, interesting.
And so different apps and things that are available depending on which environment you're using in the classroom. And they have it categorized, like if you want to do animation on an iPad, they recommend a particular app. On a Chromebook, they recommend a different one. And I found a couple of versions of this, and actually over time they've kind of refined it. Some of these used to say, I don't know one, and they would add them as they came up. So I think it's a useful infographic, and you can check it out from our Pinterest link. one more Pinterest link for you. It's an article I came across called Three Presentation Tools Teachers Are Now Using. I thought you'd like this, Martin. You're the presentation guy. So teachers are now using, just so you know, Haiku Deck.
We've talked about that. Yep.
Have you talked about Project T?
No, with a Q, project, huh?
Project QT. Okay, Project, apparently it's called, with a strange spelling.
A project, maybe.
There you go. Sorry. Google Presentations is the third. I actually use Google Presentations today and something I was using. So three new presentation tools that you might want to check out. That's what I got for you for community feedback this week.
Cool. If you would like to contribute, we try and make that as easy as possible. And if you go to wellstech.wells.net, it's fairly easy to, we'll show it here. Wellstech.wells.net is where all of our show notes are, so you can see all the previous episodes, all 351 of the previous ones that we've done. With links and all that kind of good stuff. But here is also the place where you can comment on any of those shows, so each one of them has a place for you to comment. So we'll pick up those comments. We get notified whenever you do that. WellsTech@wells.net is the way to email us. But also on the show notes page, you have all of our social network appearances, so to speak.
Google channels, yes.
Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, as Sally mentioned, and then other places that you will find our stuff. So there's really no excuse. You can even leave a good old-fashioned digital voicemail.
Just click on the link right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so many options.
Yep. Please pass along the word to everybody that you know that might be interested in this kind of dialogue. Again, this is a conversation, and we look forward to having this every Tuesday. And if you're free on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock Central, wellstechlive.wells.net is the URL we've created that will get you to the Google Hangouts page where you can ask a question like Julia did today. Sally, the only thing left for the show today is our featured video. And got a special one this week, and I was out at the worship conference and saw the closing service down at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the closing piece, Jerusalem the Golden, or the melody Thaxted, was rearranged by my brother-in-law, Dale Whitty, and he recorded this with his little old iPhone and posted it on YouTube. So we have placed this in, what playlist is this in?
It's in Inspirational Music.
Inspirational Music. So if you want to enjoy, just it was great to be there, but the next best thing is to watch the video, because the audio is very good and the video is good too, where full orchestra, full choir, the congregation singing. There were probably 1,000 people in the building.
Taste of heaven.
Just a neat thing. It's one of my favorite hymns, as well as my wife's too. So it's already got almost 1,500 views, and it was just published a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. So that link will be on our show notes page as well.
Yeah, check it out.
Sally, great of you to be here. You're going to be here all week. We're doing some final web training.
So. Final web training marathon week.
That's right.
We got
just
one day down.
We just finished a session with some great teachers, most of them from Manitowoc, so we're thankful for them to show up. And now we've got our whole Dummies series, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and got approximately 30 people coming in each day for that kind of training. So good for you. Good for you to spend a few days in Wisconsin. Good for the soul.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. And thank you for joining us, whether that be via audio or video. We're glad that you're here. Come back next week and join the conversation. Bye-bye.